in proportion to what my body is will digest now. How many knows when you get over 30, over 40, over 50, something slows down and something begins to grow? How many's experienced that? Yeah. And then there's the people that I really can't stand is those skinny gluttons. You seen them where they pile their plate up? You know, I think in heaven it's going to be reversed. They're going to blow up and we're going to shrink. So, you know, there's, because he's going to balance everything out. But here's the thing that I know. God has said, you know, that he teaches moderation in his word. And I want to read you a scripture because I began to pay attention to my body and what it was saying. And I used to stay around 215, 210, 212 in there. And a little over a year and a half ago or so, I went down to about 185, 86, 87. And I fluctuate in there right now. I weighed this morning 186. And I really haven't done hardly anything different other than just watch my portions and do a few simple things that I want to pass on to you today. And because, listen, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And so, and I know I'm not real healthy as far as my eating habits. So that's my next level is what I eat to be a little more healthy in what I eat. And so I'm growing, but I want to give you what I have and what God has helped me to accomplish. And let's look at the scripture in 1 Timothy 4:1. If you have your Bible, everybody got your sword today? Turn there. When you get there, hold your Bible up. As soon as you get there, 1 Timothy 4:1. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible. I'm going to be reading from the Living Bible. And on this day that we're going to remind you about healthy lifestyles, we want to encourage you to say, you know what, I can be healthier because the Word says I can be healthier. 1 Timothy 4. Are you there? Everybody got your sword? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can learn what it says I can learn. I can weigh what I should weigh. In Jesus' name. Amen. We added one today, didn't we? You like that one? And I want to read from the Living Bible, and I want you to get this. It says in 1 Timothy 4:1, this is the Living Bible, but the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some in the church will turn away from Christ and become eager followers of teachers with devil-inspired ideas. These teachers will tell lies with straight faces and do it so often that their conscience won't even bother them. They will say it is wrong to be married and wrong to eat meat. Everybody say boo hiss. Yeah. And it says wrong to eat meat. Even though God gave these things, listen to this, and I love this version, to well-taught Christians to enjoy. Everybody that loves meat say, I'm a well-taught Christian. Don't you love that verse? Aren't you glad he put that in there for all the pork eaters and hamburger eaters? And he says, to the well-taught Christians to enjoy and be thankful for. And verse 4, for everything God made is good, and we may eat it gladly if we are thankful for it. One of the prayers I usually pray over every meal is, God, we thank you for this food, ask your blessing on it, and thank you for providing this meal. How many knows there's millions of people in the world starving to death? They don't have enough food on their table every day. And so thank God for provisions. Verse 5, if we ask God to bless it, for it is made good by the word of God and prayer. So we ought to be in the habit of praying over our meal. Verse 6, if you explain this to the others, you will be doing your duty as a worthy pastor. Today, I'm a worthy pastor. Because we're talking about good health. It says, who is fed by faith and by the true teaching you have followed. Don't waste time arguing over foolish ideas and silly myths and legends. Spend your time and energy in the exercise of keeping spiritually fit. And I really believe that's where it started. That's where it started for me, is getting spiritually fit in this area and saying, what does God's Word say and how can it help me accomplish my goal weight? It says, and now verse 8, Bodily exercise is all right. Everybody say that. Bodily exercise is all right. The part that Lori was playing about being too tired. If you don't have a weekly regimen of exercise, I want to encourage you today to get into a weekly regimen, because I can't tell you how many times I went to the gym and you'd be a little tired. The only time I don't go if I'm fatigued, I'm just worn smooth out, you know, because I've had three or four late days, 15, 18 hours and not much sleep, then your body just needs rest. But I've said every other time, I'm just going to the gym three or four times a week, and it's great. It says, bodily exercise is all right, but spiritual exercise is more important and is a tonic or profitable for all to do. And so the spiritual is the most important part, and the bodily exercise is really important. Yesterday, it was so much fun. We went to a wedding down at, we did a wedding Friday in the Botanical Gardens, a beautiful wedding, and Jason and Jessica had reserved us a room with their family, and so we had a room at the Sheraton, and we stayed there overnight and went up to the, whatever that little place is, the Petroleum Club, and had a nice meal, this great food, and just had a wonderful time. And it was so much fun. Yesterday morning, we went down to the lobby and ate breakfast, and we looked at, and we was on the 12th floor, and it was really cool. Jana said, "You want to take the stairs?" I said, "I would love to take the stairs." And we made it 12 flights of stairs, just going along. Now, we took two breaks, I think on the 6th floor and the 8th floor or 9th floor, whatever it was. But she had her little flip-flops on, so she got, you know, it's hard for her. But 12 flights of stairs. You try to do that lately? I'm telling you, it was just cool that me and my wife, 50 years old, she'll be 50 this month, were able just to take 12 flights of stairs and get us some exercise working off our breakfast. Says, so exercise yourself spiritually and practice being a better Christian, because that will help you not only now in this life, but in the next life too. And so getting physically fit, spiritually fit here, he says, will help us in both places. Now, one of the things I thought about, and I want you to catch here, he said, bodily exercise is all right. One version said it profits little, but you got to remember something about in Paul's day. They didn't have automobiles. They didn't have dishwashers where they could go over and push the button. They didn't have Maytag washing machines where they could throw them in there. They were scrubbing and doing all this sort of physical labor all day long. In fact, some of the older generation in this place, you know, when you grew up as a kid, there was physical activities all the time going on around your place. How many can remember back when your folks used to, when I was a little bitty kid, I can remember we'd go out and pick pecans and we'd go out, and I never picked any cotton, but I can remember my mom and dad, I'd go with them to the cotton field when I first was just old enough to really recollect my childhood. We didn't do that for very long, but I can remember them working so hard. And then when we go home, they had this huge garden about as big as this room Dad would grow, and they would always plant and sow and can stuff, and so there's always busy. My mother is over 80 years old, and her dad still can and raise a big garden and all those sort of things. So they're physically active, and so bodily exercise means something different today than it did in Paul's day, where we just go down to the grocery store and buy food off the shelves, where they had to grow it and make it and all. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16. And Paul asked the Corinthians a question. And this is our question today. He says, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Look over at your neighbor and say, do you know I'm the temple of God? Isn't that cool? You are the temple of God. And it says, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy. Look over at your neighbor and say, yeah, well, I'm holy. God has made us holy. He indwells us, and He's made us holy because His Spirit's in us. So this body is carrying about Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the living God. And so He calls this temple holy. And He says, which temple you are. Now turn over a few pages to chapter 6. To chapter 6. And this is one that I think everybody that is in fitness, they all use this one. This is one of the key things. In fact, in the class I was at the other day, was giving speeches, and one of the students brought this in that did adult learning and fitness. He says, verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not of your own?" So your body, he says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit that is in you. Verse 20, "For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so here is the verse that I want you to key in on today, and I want us to stand on in good health and saying, you know what? My body, the Bible says, is the holy temple of God. And he said that we are to glorify God in this temple. In other words, we should reach our potential, whether it's our weight, our health, how we feel, sharing the gospel, studying, whatever it is. In all these areas, finances, you know, stress can be a great key to bad health. And when we get in debt and have credit card debt, we can really stress out. So all of these areas is combined in taking care of our bodies and glorifying God in our bodies. Now, my first the first person I want to visit with this morning is Charlotte Backus, and I'm going to ask her to come. She was the one on the bike that was in the skit. If you'll grab that mic right there and come and join me, and I'm going to have her just talk to you a little bit about what she's accomplished in the last several months, and I'm just really proud of her efforts. And I've noticed, I don't know if she was going to eat with us today, but for a while I noticed that she didn't, you know, when we had things here and it wasn't healthy food in the beginning stages, I noticed she would pass. And so at different levels, that's what I did. I did different things that worked for me. And so I'd like you just to give us a testimony of and tell the folks what God's done through you.
Andrew, would you put that up there for me, please?
Go ahead. Just go ahead and visit now.
A little over a year ago, in fact, it was at Jack's 50th birthday party, I got a picture of myself at the party, and that's what he's trying to pull up. And in this picture, I weigh 225 pounds. And when I looked at that picture, I cried because I realized that my life was so out of control in every area. And God began to get a hold of me and tell me, you've got to do something. I suffer from arthritis. I was starting to have some health problems. And I thought, I'm too young to feel like this. And I want to be healthy in later years. And I don't want to be a burden to my husband. And I just, God was just telling me, you know, I really want to work through you. I really want to do something great in you. But your body is holding me back. And you are putting me in bondage because of it. And I can't work through you until you get discipline in this area. So I joined Weight Watchers. And I really liked Weight Watchers. I had a good support group, and they taught me how to eat right, and I got to where I wrote things down. And it was nice to go every week and see people who were fighting the same battles that I was fighting, because not everybody that you work with fights the same battle. But at that support group, we were all facing the same thing. But there was just something that just wasn't quite right for me. At 22 pounds, when I had lost that far, God told me, you know, this is good and you're doing great, but this is not what I want. You're not doing what I need you to do. And he said, you have got to put me first place, because if you don't, you're going to fail and you're going to be right back where you were all these other times that you've tried all these other diets and done all these things, because he said, you're still trying to be in control. So I said, okay. If this is what you want. So I started reading my Bible, and a lot of scriptures that Jack has there, started seeing what the Bible said about my body and what it was to God. And I started looking at my body differently. And the more I began to do that, and the more I began to let God be in control, the pounds came off. I'm not going to tell you it was easy, because it wasn't. But it started to come off, and I began to get a new awareness of my body, and that awareness was God in me. And it was God showing me, you can do this. I know you don't like to exercise, but we can do this. And we can spend time in prayer, and we can do all the things that I'm going to teach you that you're going to need to do. So I stand before you this morning, 55 pounds lighter. I'm not... I'm actually a pound from my goal weight that Weight Watchers set for me, and I'm about 10 pounds from my own personal goal weight. And at my age, I'm not sure I'll make it that far, but if I don't, I'm okay right where I'm at, because God has put me here, and He will sustain me here as long as I keep making Him first.
So tell us some of the changes you made in your eating. Did you go on, of course, Weight Watchers, you said...
Weight Watchers got started. My first fear with Weight Watchers was we ate out all the time, and I thought, there is no way I can lose weight going out to eat with this man. There's no way. And the lady told me, yes, you can. Yes, you can, because with Weight Watchers, they have a program that works with you in eating out. So that's where I started, and we started splitting meals. And that was just a really small change, but every time we went out to eat, I did not eat a full meal. If we bought a cheeseburger, we split it. I didn't order fries, he did. I'd eat three or four of them and let him have the rest of them. And after about 3 weeks of doing this, we walked out of Santa Fe one day, and Rex looked at me and he said, you know what? I feel pretty good. He said, and I only ate half of a meal. He said, I don't think I need to be eating as much as I have been eating in the past. And God was showing us that you don't need as much as you think that you do to sustain your body to do the work that He wants you to do. So that's where we started. And then I've added in water, and I exercise 5 days a week. And exercise is hard for me. And my deal was, I get off at 4 o'clock, and I tell everybody I get off at 5 because I go to the gym on base, and I don't leave there until after 5 o'clock. So my personal conviction for me was, you're just not off work until 5 o'clock because you're going to go do an hour worth of exercise. And so that's how I started getting into the exercise. I walk at lunch. I found me a walking buddy, and we meet every day for lunch, and we walk, and that's a great place to start. Walking is very awesome for you, and it's a good place to get you going. I write down what I eat. I make sure that I keep track of what I eat, because it's really easy to go in and just really overeat. I don't look at menus when I go to restaurants. I let Rex pick what we're going to have, and then I just take half of whatever it is that he gets. At first, I did eat a full meal, but I'd get a to-go box, and I'd cut it in half and put my stuff in my to-go box, and I would set it aside before I ever started my meal. And that was really helping me with the portion controls, because I like to eat, and I'm a big meat eater. So it's learning portion control. It's learning to give your body the things that it needs. And as you start to make small changes, or as I started to make small changes, I started having more energy, and I started feeling better, and I thought, wow, you know, if a little bit does this, imagine what a whole lot of this will do. So I'm no longer in Weight Watchers anymore. I do keep the foundation going, but I am in the First Place program, and that helps keep my spiritual side of it in line. And I couldn't do it without God. I've tried it 100 times before. I have a lot of weight problems in my family. And this is the first time that I have succeeded, and I have succeeded because God has been there right along the way with me.
For Jan and I, we've been splitting meals because we eat out a whole lot, and we don't. And if you're like me, I can't do diets. You know, I can't do diets, and I'm not disciplined in that area. I don't want to be disciplined in that area for diets, but I want to have good health. So what I started doing is just, I don't write anything down what I've eaten. I just know mentally that, you know, this is, if you're simple like me, here's what I did. I thought, if you eat a big meal, the next meal is not quite as big. Like yesterday morning, we got up and we went in the hotel there, and we ate a breakfast buffet. And if you've ever eaten a breakfast buffet at these nice hotels, they have everything. So I got me a biscuit, and I got some bacon and gravy and potatoes. Isn't that healthy? But you know what? I got it in smaller portions. And here, let me give you a key. This is what I do now. I didn't do this for years, and you guys will probably relate to this. For years, I'm sitting here, and I never put my fork down for the whole meal. I just didn't put my fork down. So what I do now is, as I savor the meal, that's something the Holy Spirit's taught me, just savor it, you know? You're going to get to eat, just savor it. I give thanksgiving. We just read, you give thanksgiving over your food. And so we blessed it and asked God to nourish our bodies and let it glorify Him. So it is not going to glorify Him if I eat more than I should. So what I do is I'll get me a bite and I just savor the meal, you know? With that steak we had the other night up there, it's one of the center cut, big thick. It wasn't real huge, but it was just wonderful. And then they had the, is it cordon chicken, whatever you call that?
Cordon bleu.
Cordon bleu. And that was wonderful. But we just savored that. And then, you know, send a little back. And that's what we do. We always split meals. And guys, here's something I figured out. I used to think it wasn't really a God-fulfilled meal. It was kind of anti-Christ if we didn't have bread. How many feels like that? If there's no bread on the table, so yeah, see? And I thought that, and so here's what, it worked for me. I'm just giving you things that worked for me. That I found out that, you know what, you can enjoy this meat and potatoes or whatever you got on your plate without bread. Several years ago, I had high blood pressure, and my doctor said, you know, you need to take medication. I said, well, I'd rather try something else. He said, well, you need medication, because it was like 140 or 50 over 90, and he said, that's not bad, but we need to get it under that. And so I took a mild medication. I said, well, what can I do? And so here's what I did. He said, if you'll take less salt, because when I grew up, the salt shaker and the pepper shaker was on the table, and they got a lot of use. And so we just salt it. And so I just prayed and asked God to help me, because there's salt in about everything you eat. And so I just said, help me, Lord. And so I don't salt anything anymore, and I haven't done that for years, and I don't miss it, because that's just something I asked God to help me do personally. And why I tell you that is because about a year and a half later, or maybe not that long, I came off the medication because my blood pressure dropped too low. And he said, you're doing something right. And that was before I lost any weight. So it's just a matter of something small that he told me to do, but it took me off medication. And so I take my fork and I'll eat a bite, and not always, but I'll try to, especially if we're eating out, and enjoy the conversation with my spouse. And it's just a little bit different. It's a little different than I've ever done. And here's something else I do. I love hamburgers, cheeseburgers. So what I do for lunch usually now is I go to, if I'm going to get a cheeseburger, I'll go over at Brahms and I'll get a junior cheeseburger. Mm-hmm. I found out my body can't handle a double whopper bigger than a fry, you know.
You don't have to be a kid to order a kid's meal.
And the other day I was out with Michael and we ordered a big burger and I ate part of it and, you know, put the rest, just, I was full. I stopped when I was full. But it's a conscious decision that I made that really helped me to say, you know what, I want to feel better, I want to look better, I want to be more active, and it gave me a lot more energy. Now, so my next goal is to start eating more healthy. Here's something else I did, because I never looked at labels. How many has never looked at labels? Let me see your hand.
Yeah.
I never had looked at labels at all, and I'm not a label watcher and a counter, but I started looking at things that I like, that I really put in my body, and I started looking at it and talking about fats and saturated fats and that fructose, whatever that is, that's bad
fructose,
stuff. Yeah, that's bad, you know. So I started looking at this stuff and saying, well, what do I like? And if it's got a lot of calories, I eat small portions. And if it's got less calories, I eat a little more. And to offset that, drinking water is another key that I love, is just drinking water. Water is good for you. In fact, I was in a health class that I did last semester, and this holistic doctor told me, he says, because the question was asked, can you drink tea, and can you drink coffee, and can you drink Coca-Cola? And because I love Coca-Cola, and Dennis will be up here to reprimand me in a minute. He got on me the other day for drinking Coca-Cola because it's pure sugar. He said, you can drink it, but it's like drinking polluted water. And I never looked at it that way. And so it's just getting little intake, you know, that really makes you think, I'm drinking, and now every time I drink a Coke, I think, boy, this is good polluted water, you know. And here's something I tried this week, because I do like my Coca-Cola, and I try to limit those. But here's what I tried this week, because I like the taste of Coca-Cola, and it really worked. I just one day that I did this, but I got me a Coke, And I filled it, or cup, and I put a lot of ice in mine so I don't get as much Coke. But I put that the Coke up there, and I fill it about this far full of Diet Coke, which I don't really like Diet Coke. And then I've topped it off about this far with my, I call it just regular Coke, Coca-Cola Classic. And if you're going to drink it, I thought, you know what? And it took the I call it twang off the Diet Coke for me. Now, I'm not saying you need to drink Coke, but if you're going to and you want to drop a few pounds, I'm just saying that's something that I came up with this last week that took the edge off the what I didn't like about the Diet Coke. And all I'm saying is pray and be creative about what works for you, because I don't do diets. If I don't crave things, because if I can't eat it, I'll start craving something and then I'll overdo. And so I still like ribs. I'll eat them once in a while, but when I go out and eat ribs, here's what I do. I don't order potatoes with ribs. How many knows there's just enough grease in ribs? God just put enough grease in pigs for one serving. That's my thinking. This is what works for me. And so if I'm going to get ribs, I'll get a little portion of beans and then some coleslaw or something else, something not so greasy. And so all of this is a trade-off. In fact, I'm so proud of myself. I've been to Red Lobster 3 times in the past month or so and haven't eaten one of those biscuits. You know, they've got the little cheese and stuff in there that I used to eat 3 of when I sat down. But what I do is I savor my salad, and then I know that my main course is going to have all this good stuff that my palates love. You know, and my palate's sitting there saying, where's the biscuits? And I say, I've got other things coming today, you know. And so that, yeah, it's a trade-off, but it really, to me, the feel that you have of saying, I don't, you know, I'm not having to carry around extra weight and stuff has really been a blessing. And so that's just a few things that we do. Splitting meals is great, because another thing it does is saves you a lot of money. Yeah. When you go out to a restaurant for about almost the price of one.
You were talking about savoring your food, and in this fast society that we live in, we just hurry and grab something and we go. And one of the things I learned in Weight Watchers is we eat like it's our last meal. And we just cram in as much as we can get, as fast and hard as we can go. And it finally dawned on me one day that this was not my last meal. That if I chose to eat in an hour, I could do that. I'm a grown woman. I could go get something to eat, fix something or whatever. So I didn't have to eat so much during that meal, because it wasn't my last one. I was going to go back and have another one sometime during the day. So it's a lot of mental games that you play with yourself. But I just really started to notice a big difference in my body and the way it reacts. It's so neat to be able to bend over and tie my shoes.
I have a friend that had I talked to the other day, and he had lost, he went from 210 down to 180, 180 or 182, somewhere in there. And he hadn't reached his goal weight, but he said the same thing. He's a little bit older than I am, and he said, you know what, I couldn't even tie my shoe. He said, literally, he said, I thought I was going to pass out. And he's a skinny guy, but he just had a big gut, you know, because you don't gain weight anywhere else. And he said, but I've just noticed, and that's all he did was smaller portions. And so this is not a shouting time, but you know what? It's a practical. Just be practical is all I'm saying. And I just want to challenge you to be practical and say, I want to be the healthiest I can be. Let me say this on exercise. And God gave me this last year when I was preaching a series here. But I believe there's two kinds of people that devote themselves to exercise. The ones before the heart attack and the ones that survive a heart attack. And that's the most serious thing I'll tell you today. But, you know, when we let our bodies go and don't pay attention to it, and the doctors will tell us this, that, you know what, we're eventually going to head toward a heart attack or stroke or something. So, and if you survive that, then people get active and say, boy, that's a wake-up call. No, this is a wake-up call. It's the Word of God. Turn with me to Daniel. You got anything else you want to give them? Okay. Thank you very much, Charlotte, for coming. And leave that microphone right here and we'll have... Sherry, come on up. Turn your in your Bible to Daniel. I want to show you something that the Lord revealed to me as I was praying and asking God to help us in this area, because, you know, I don't know what'll work for you. I just know God has a plan, a health plan for you that'll work for you to keep you at your ideal weight. If if you pay attention to the Holy Spirit and listen to Him. This is pretty cool, because this was a transformation that happened to Daniel in the Old Testament in a matter of days. And I thought, this might work for some of you. This might be your answer. But it says this in Daniel 1. He was taken captive to Babylon, and they're slaves. And the king looks at him and three or four others and says, you know what, these are some sharp individuals, and I want to make them my counselors, advisors. And so he puts them in a three-year program as a dictator, and he says, I want these sharpest of the sharp to be in a program, and I want them to know everything that they need to know, training, schooling, and all, and then they'll be my counselors, advisors, and such, which Daniel becomes. And so, but anyway, as they're starting this, look in verse 5. It said, they were, the king had appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. And so here they are, and they're getting to eat the best of the best. Whatever the king eats, that's what they get to eat. And so, you know what that means. Probably a lot of fat. Anything that's good to the palate, they're eating that. And it says, and look at verse 8, Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And it says, now God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, he said, I fear my lord, the king who has appointed you food. In other words, this is a king. He said, he's appointed this food to you, and I don't know if I can change it or not. He says, I fear him. Says, for why should he see your faces looking worse than your young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. And he literally means that. He means that if you come up looking worse and the king finds out that you're not on the diet that he's given you, he could literally lose his head. Now, that he had that kind of authority, and that kind of stuff happened all the time. And so this was a great risk for this eunuch to take. Verse 11, so Daniel said to the steward whom the chief and the eunuchs set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, Daniel says, please test your servants for 10 days, just 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat portions of the king's delicacies, and see, and you see, as you see fit, so deal with your servant. He said, if we don't look better in 10 days, then we'll go back on the king's diet, okay? That we'll do that. So this is what he says in verse 15. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter. And it doesn't mean fatter in the sense that we think. It's more robust. It's fresher. The flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portions of delicacies and the wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. And so, my point is, in 10 days, there was a huge difference because they weren't eating all this fatty things that the king was eating. And so I'd like to maybe even give you a challenge. If this might be something that you want to try. Say, for 10 days, Lord, I'm going to do veggies and water and just see what a difference. But to encourage you, if you're not on some kind of a regiment, some kind of a fitness program, to say, you know what, Holy Spirit, show me and what I can do. And then challenge the Lord and say, I want to see if I'm going to try it. And I expect to look better, feel better. And if you don't, we'll go back to prayer again and try something else. But to live a healthy and fit life. This is Sherry Davis, and she's in our director of First Place, and I've asked her to come. This is a support group, a program that we have here at the church, and I just wanted to tell her to tell you kind of what it's about briefly and what the benefits of it are.
Well, First Place is a weight loss program, but it's Christ-centered, and they use Matthew 6:33. As their basis. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. It's a 13-week course, and in this course, we teach you how to make healthy choices. Nothing is forbidden. Eat in moderation. We can have, like today, if I wanted to have ice cream, I could have a small portion of the ice cream, not a huge bowl or several bowls of it. You just choose things that are healthy for your body. In the Bible studies...
Let me say this. and I'm not contradicting hers. I'm saying what works for me. I'll probably eat a good lunch today. So you'll look at me and you'll say, I thought you just talked about eating healthy. Well, I'll eat a good lunch today, but I'll go home and snack maybe on some crackers or something light, you know, that I'll just offset it somewhere. And I'm training my body to say, you know what, you had a good meal today. Now, you know, slack off because I want you to hit your goal. I want you to feel good tomorrow. And just talking to myself. I heard this statement. It says we listen to ourselves a lot more than we should, and we should be talking to ourselves a lot more than we do. And that's what I do. Just talk to myself and say, you know, you've had this good lunch, you've had a burger, you've had your ice cream and all, so now you're going to go home and act like, you know, we're going to discipline ourselves and eat lighter this evening, real light snack or something maybe that later on this afternoon.
We teach balance is what it is all about. And we eat every food group. We don't eliminate fats. We don't eliminate the breads. We ask if you eat breads to eat the whole grains, things that are more healthy for your body, not to eat a lot of processed food. Fast foods, there are healthy choices. They're not great choices, but you can eat out. We talk portion control, going out to eat. When you order, if you don't split it with someone, ask for a to-go box and take half of it home with you. Don't even eat it all. Because the portions that we get today, a chicken breast is usually 8 ounces, and that's more than what I should eat for a day. I should only eat maybe 6 ounces. So if you eat that at one meal and then go home and eat more meat, you've overeaten and you're out of balance in what you're eating. We also have in the program, in the book, we have a memory verse that we learn each week. We have a Bible study that we do each day, and that Bible study takes about 15 to 20 minutes. It's not a real in-depth study. It's something to help you to see why you're doing the things that you're doing, why you might be out of control. This time we're doing Life Under Control, and we're talking about David and how he got into trouble by letting sin tempt him and him falling into sin. And for some people, eating can be considered a sin because you overeat and you overtax your body. And the scripture that you read in 1 Corinthians 6:19, where we're the temple, and we were bought with a price, and that price was Christ. And we can't honor God if we can't get out and do His work that He wants us to do. We also, everybody hates exercise, but that's the one thing that you need to do.
Can I say I love exercise? Everybody doesn't hate exercise. I love exercise.
There's a
lot My wife loves exercise.
A lot of people don't like it, though, because it's hard for them. It makes them hurt. It makes
in
them
the beginning,
out.
It's
it
hard. It's
it
hard.
Is.
But I was on the I was on the stair stepper. I love the stair stepper because it's fast-paced, and you get there quicker. You know, I'm not a long, let's have this long work. So I'm just up there, and I'm getting it, you know, and sweating, and this guy comes up, and you can tell he's just starting and has several pounds to go, and he says, how long did it take you to get there? And he's just sweating, you know. And I said, oh, about 6 months. And you'll tell me. He said, 6 months. I said, well, you'll tell the difference before then. But I said, this is great, you know. And I'm just having a great time on the treadmill. I mean, the stair stepper, just getting after it. And I said, he said, I just don't think I could do that today. And I said, I don't think you need to do that today, because you can tell he's just drenched with sweat. But I said, you know what? It becomes fun to you because your body just feels so good after you work out and get to breathe hard. And I don't know how to explain it, but it's addictive to me. It's to go in and work out. It's like the stairs we took yesterday made us feel better because we'd slept in and had a meal, a bigger meal. And so that, the going up there, it just made us feel better. But it doesn't always, what I'm trying to say in a poor way, is it doesn't always, you won't always feel that way if you'll just start with something, whether it's riding your bike. And you see more of those in the garage sale than you do anywhere else, those bikes over there. But just starting and doing it and making a little bit. If it's a little walk, if it's today, what I'd like for I'd like to challenge you, just stop 2 bites short and you've started a great health day. Just, you know, just start two bites or one scoop less today than what you normally would, and you've started good health today. Because that's what good health is. It's just starting somewhere and doing what works for you. That's the way I started. That's the way I've lost about 30 pounds, was to say, you know what, I'm just going to do what works for me. No diets for me. I'm just going to do a little less here and a little less there, and if I eat a little more, I'll balance it off. But exercise, I love exercise, and I think you will too if you just get into it.
When I first started First Place, I started walking 5 minutes a day. That's all I could do. And each week I increased it, the next week to 10 minutes, and then I got it up to 15, and I eventually got to where I could walk a mile in 15 minutes, which is what my doctor wanted me to do. So you have to, if you haven't done exercise, start slow and begin. Just take small steps to increase it. Another part of the program that everyone really enjoys in First Place is the encouragement. And each week we draw names, and for that week you pray for that person, and sometime during that week you give them some type of encouragement. You call them, send them a card, send them an email, talk to them, call them, say, how are you doing, you know, with your walk? And we also, now that we have started our Bible study, we will also take a prayer request, and we will pray for each other each day through the whole week. And this is one of the greatest supports that we have, is the prayer that we have, because we can go to God and we can ask Him to help us with the problems that we're having with our eating, and if we're having trouble exercising and everything. So that's just, most of them really enjoy the encouragement part of it.
Amen. And it's great if your spouse will get involved. That's the way Jan and I you know, I'm 51-year-old male, and I do aerobics with the girls. Very few of us guys will do aerobics, but I do. I go in and we do every, like, I'll try to get up there every Thursday if I can with her, and if I can, I'll do my own personal training. But I do that because that's something that she enjoys and we enjoy together. And it's high energy, but you know, you have to kind of work up to that. But it's fun, and it's something we do with her. So your spouse can be a great encouragement as well. Any final thoughts?
Well, this session we have 16 people in our class, and we have 3 men. And that's the first time we've had any men in our session.
Cool.
And it's couples. So I'm really glad that they have come and joined us, and that, you know, I look forward to them learning and encouraging me as well.
I tell you what, during this, how many weeks?
It's 13 weeks.
13 weeks. We'll have the Biggest Loser come up on the stage. You seen that show on TV?
Yeah.
The Biggest Loser? The Biggest Loser, after these 13 weeks in this session, we'll have you come up and we'll give you a girl, at a boy, okay? Like, we could do male, female.
Right.
Biggest Losers, okay? It's the only time you want to be the Biggest Loser, isn't it?
That's right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry. And if you want any information about First Place, just see Sherry. We have one other guest, and will I have him to come real quick? Yes, thank you very much. And Dennis is the one that really got on my case for drinking Coca-Cola, so, you know.
Root beer floats. Root beer floats.
Yeah. So anyway, he has some products that he sells, and I'm sure he's going to give like 20% to the church, or whatever the church buys from him. But I thought, you know what, these are some healthy things that he provides to offset Cokes and tea and the stuff that we drink. So real quick, tell them what we got here.
Can I hit the film up there, guys?
And did we lose Charlotte? It broke.
I'm Michael W. Smith, and I make records. I've just been playing piano since I was 5. I just kept writing songs on the piano, and I think I just woke up one day and thought, you know, this is what I really love to do. This is really my passion. So I packed my bags and I moved to Nashville, and about 3.5 years later, I had a record deal. I think really what gave me the success was the songs. I started writing songs for Amy Grant. Amy allowed me to go out and open up for her from 1982 to 84. And that just really solidified an audience for me. I wrote this little simple song called Friends, and here I am on record number 18. I'm kind of in awe of what is happening. I'm really humbled by it all. I usually don't like to talk about the awards. I don't even know how many Dove Awards I have, 35 or 40 or whatever, you know. I mean, I have to get 3 Grammy Awards. And my life lifetime achievement award from ASCAP, which I feel like I'm way too young to have. You're supposed to get those when you're 65 or 70. And I think my favorite award that I ever won was the American Music Award. I was voted for Best New Adult Contemporary Pop Artist. And that was voted on by the public. That's the one that I remember most. Began to find out about Avicare. And I lost 14 pounds and then was developing some muscle for the first time in my life. And I felt better. I believe it makes a difference. Believe me, I'm not a vain person. I don't stand in front of the mirror and look at myself. But you know, when you sit down and look at your arm and think, oh my God, there's something back there that never was there before. I do a shake every morning. I do a berry shake. A little spark, pineapple and fruit, and banana and whole deal. That's my breakfast. And I feel great. When you tour, it's a totally different thing than being at home. I expend a lot of energy on stage every night. So to me, the most important thing is I've got to get a lot of sleep. I've got to eat right, which is hard on the road. I've got Avicare and all the bins inside the bus, you know. And then actually the whole band now, so we all do our little berry shake in the morning. And instead of feeling like you're exhausted from doing two shows in a row, you can do four in a row and you're feeling okay. I think I can say this without an ego. I think my best work is yet to come, you know, so I'm pretty optimistic.
I would like to agree with Michael that my best work is yet to come. And I want to give a real brief testimony because I know we're about out of time. But it was a couple months ago that I was running. I love to run. But if you hurt after you run or, you know, work out, then it becomes real boring and you don't want to do it. Avicare has a lot of great products to help people with arthritis, people with, you know, sore muscles to recover real quickly so you want to get back in the gym. I don't like the gym. I never have liked the gym. My wife is a member of a gym, and she's got me a membership. I don't go. I've got weights outside. I've got an acre to run on. But a couple months ago, I was about 3.2 miles to Lake West Watkins Lake to my house, and I walk. I'm learning by my two brothers there, Todd and Walt, encouraged me. Then stop running. You're going to kill yourself. Just walk, stretch. Walking's real good for you. I love to jog and I love to run. But I'm running one morning, and I call my son in Stillwater. I'm going to be a grandfather. My second grandson will be born here in about 3 weeks. I'm excited. And I called Jeremiah, and I said, I'm on my way to the lake. He said, you're going to go fishing, Dad? And I go, no, I'm not fishing. I'm just going to the lake. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm running. He goes, why are you doing that? And I said, because my father, your grandfather, I'm 3 months older than him when he passed away, 3 months before his 59th birthday. I'm 59. And I said, my grandmother lived to be 100. And she ate a lot of good vegetables and stuff. And I said, I'm going to run. I'm going to get in shape because I said, I want to experience and enjoy my grandson. I want to see him get married. So I've got goals set for me. Cool. And Avicare has helped me get the goals that I've got. We've got energy drink outside. There's brochures. You guys want to ask questions. I want to read one thing real quick, Jack.
Okay.
I found this morning in the Celebrate Recovery. Willpower, and a lot of us don't have a lot of willpower. You know, we start something and we quit. Willpower becomes the willingness to accept God's power to guide your life. We come to see that there is no room for God if we're full of ourselves. We're full of ourselves, we got no room for God, and then we want to continue those hurts, habits, and hang-ups. One of me, I used to eat 18 donuts a day. I used to drink a lot of pop. I used to smoke a few cigarettes. But if you get down to where you really see where God wants you, like the scriptures Jack shared this morning, you can put good stuff in your body and have energy, and then we have stuff to help you to get where you want to exercise. And when you do exercise, you'll say, I'm not doing that again. That hurt.
Okay. Thank you very much. And I just really wanted to come to say, you know what? Here's something he got on to me about drinking too many Cokes. I have tried to cut those back and drink more water and stuff, so that's my plan. But you know what? The thing is, get you a plan is all we're encouraging to do today. Something will work for you to live in good health. And whether it's Daniel's thing with veggies and water for a season. And by the way, my goal was this. If I'm going to lose it, I took, and here, there's no big secret. If you want to lose weight, you take in less calories than you're going to burn. That's really all it amounts to. And if you want to gain a little, you take in more calories than you're going to burn. If you want to maintain, you take in what you can burn for the day. Real easy process. God made it real simple for simple people like me. But I just want to encourage you today, and for all of you that's going to start tomorrow because we're having this big feast, start today. If you're used to two plates, eat two plates minus two bites is all I'm saying today. Let's encourage each other. I love you, Dennis, for encouraging me, saying, you know, watch your Coke intake and here's some healthier stuff. And
I love you,
Sherry,
too,
and the support group that she has, and Charlotte for doing what she's doing and sharing that with us, something that's working for her. And some of you probably have a testimony because you already have good health and you do things, you're active. But get active a little bit. Start a little program of some sort. Just get you a plan through prayer and the Holy Spirit, and live a good, healthy life for Jesus Christ so we can feel our best and do our best and be healthy. Let's pray.
Come outside the table, at the table outside.
Yeah, he's right out here, Nick.
I got brochures. I'll give you guys a free drink.
Father, thank you for good health today. We ask that you would help us to be good stewards over this temple that you've given us, that we will glorify you in everything we do, that everything we intake, everything that goes out from us, God, that it would glorify you. I just pray over those that may be in the audience today, this congregation that's been struggling with weight or good health. I pray in Jesus' name, I pray over them. And just like you're prompting us to do better and to go to the next level, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll give them wisdom and you'll give them guidance, you'll give them direction for healthy lifestyles. I pray that you'll help them through a process. The Holy Spirit, you reveal to them the process that you've laid out for them, something that works for them. Not diets, not but a lifestyle that'll work for them. And I ask that you would just, through the unction of the Holy Spirit, prompt them, let them hear your voice, let them know it's you, and let us all live healthy and happy lives as models and examples for the kingdom. And that we know, God, we can accomplish that through supporting each other, through depending and leaning upon the Scripture, and doing what you have called us to do. And that we thank you, Father, for healthy lives. In Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just ask.